We open the Holy Scriptures together this morning to God's Word in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll be looking at verse 8 of this chapter, and we will read now the verses 1 through 16. God's Word in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we read, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them." So he's talking about Christians who are imprisoned for Jesus' sake. "Remember them that are in bonds." This morning, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We read to that point in the scriptures this morning, asking the Holy Spirit's blessing of that word to our hearts. And now we consider for a few moments before we come to the table of the Lord, the eighth verse, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, these words of our text are actually part of a confession that was made in the early church, like an article that we would take from the Apostles' Creed. It was part of a confession that the church would speak, and especially this particular line of the confession, that they would speak in the early church in moments of persecution, when they were being led out, perhaps, to the Colosseum to be fed to lions or to be tortured, when they were to be sold as a slave, they would say, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. When in this particular book of Hebrews that you will recall is written to converted Jewish Christians, and when their family were calling them devils, and when their families were saying, we can have no fellowship with you. And when they were bearing the reproach even of their own children against them or their parents against them, they would say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You'll note with me that the apostles' use of this particular confession that was being made in the church, that his use of these words is very skillful and especially appropriate because, as I said, he is calling Jewish converts in this book and in this chapter, he is calling them to hold fast to the faith that he had taught them, a faith that was based in God's grace. And he does that because he has been teaching them in verse 7 that they must follow the faith of their elders and pastors. They must follow that faith, and they must consider the end of their conversation, the end of the life of an office bearer, of a pastor, the purpose of their life before the congregation is Jesus Christ. And they must hold fast to Jesus Christ. He means to say, don't neglect the faith that you are being taught as seen in your spiritual fathers, as seen in this Christian church. Do not neglect, do not turn from that faith, because that faith is the same. Jesus Christ is the same. That faith is the same that has been taught to you. In other words, young people, the Christian faith, as the world evolves with its thoughts and with its accusations against you, the Christian faith does not need to be reinvented to be adequate to the age in which you are living. We don't need to re-sculpt the Bible and re-sculpt our faith in the three creeds, because Jesus Christ is the same and will ever be the same. Praise be to God. And yet, although that is true, that it fits in this entire book and in this chapter, this phrase can simply stand by itself. It's a confession of faith. It stands in every circumstance of your life today, whether near death, whether with a secret, crushing burden, whatever you may be experiencing, this is the rock upon which we may stand. And this is what will be sealed to our hearts in the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ, the same to me. Yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at that for just a few moments. Now, when you hear that word, Jesus Christ, and young people and all of us, and you hear the next two words, the same, what comes to your mind? Well, the word the same is generally used by us in two opposite senses. We can use that word in discouragement, in the sense that we're tired of something, that we are bored. It's the same. It's the same old, same old. We can be that way about our life. It's the same car now for 8 years. It's the same house. It's the same worship services. It never changes. The same order. Our culture wants things to change. We're tired of last year's styles. Things that were so popular 10 years, 20 years ago, now they gotta go. And we need to have something different. They're the same. Do you ever speak of your friend, Jesus Christ, that way in your heart? Jesus Christ, the same. May God forbid. But it's used We use that word the same in a totally opposite sense in the way that we are happy, in the way that we express relief, in the way that we believe that something is secure. You graduated and you haven't seen that friend after high school. Everything has changed. You haven't seen that friend to whom you are so close for 20 or for 30 years. You had a very good friendship with them. They were very helpful to you. And suddenly you bump into them and you have 15, 20 minutes to talk and you leave saying, they're the same. It's the same thoughtful, kind person. Years have not taken away their faith in Christ. Years have not removed from them the gifts of empathy and compassion. They're the same, and you're so thankful about that. So it is here. Jesus Christ, the same. Jesus Christ, unalterable. Jesus Christ, unchanged from age to age. Unchanged in my life. In my life, in which everything is fickle, everything is treacherous, we believe. Everything is changing. He is the same. He is faithful. His name is faithful and true. Alpha and Omega. He does not change. We change. We get wrinkles. We go through new trials. But he does not change. His love is the same. His grace is the same. His spirit is the same. We may be high or low, but he is the same. His promises are the same. His strength is the same. His compassion is the same. His grace, his righteousness to cover our sins is the same and does not change. Now, pay attention to the confession. Jesus Christ, those two words now, the same. What is the same? Jesus Christ. Think of those two words as telling us that who he is and what he does remains the same. Though everything may change in our life, that stays the same. Jesus, as you know from catechism, is his personal name. That is who he is. He is Jesus. Nobody else is Jesus. And as you know, that name means to us Jehovah's salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. As Jesus, he's the one born, God born of a virgin into our flesh for the purpose of saving his people from their sins. Jesus is Savior from sin. All our sins. He is the same. Yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same forever. He is Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. That doesn't change about him either. And you remember again from catechism and from the scriptures that the names, this is why it's so important to know these names and to be taught. Christ is anointed. Christ refers not to his personal name, but to the office that God gave to him, to the task, to the work that the Father assigned to him. And you know from catechism that that work was threefold: prophet, priest, and king. And he remains the same in the office that God gave to him. That office was to reconcile us to God. That office was to redeem us from our sins. That office was to preserve and to glorify us. That office was to speak his word as only he can speak as the prophet. My sheep shall hear my voice. Not the voice of a preacher. My voice. That's his office, to speak to me through the scriptures. His office is priest, to lay down his life as an atonement for all of my sins, to purchase my soul for all eternity, to finish all the claims of justice against my sin. He is the priest and he is king. By his power to rule and preserve and keep my soul, Jesus Christ is the same in his work. And there's a reason now why he is the same. And that reason was what the apostle started in this book of Hebrews to the Hebrew Christians and to us. And the very first thing that in this book he wanted to say to the Hebrew Christians as he was calling them not to forsake their confession of Christ and go back to Judaism, but to abide in the faith, the very first thing he wanted to tell them was that Jesus Christ is God. He's God. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of God's glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the same because he is God unchanging in human flesh. He is the same to carry out the work of God because there is, James 1 verse 17, with whom, Jesus Christ, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the same. He has always been Jesus Christ. He always will, and he is now. Think of that. Yesterday was Saturday. Jesus Christ was the same that he ever was to you on Saturday, yesterday. Go a little further back to your other yesterdays and your other yesteryears and follow the path from your mother's womb through childhood, teenage years, and college and marriage and children. And follow your path through follies and sins and tears and struggles. Jesus Christ was the same. He never wavered toward you. Think today, he's still doing his work. Right now, he is the same. And think also in this world which troubles us. Not only our own lives, not only our own struggles, not only our own spiritual walk of life, but we look out into the world as the church of God with all that is happening in this world, and we're troubled. So many things are changing. We see the approach of the Lord. We see the approaching of the Antichrist and ultimately the approach of the Lord. It is no longer so distant to us. We must wake up and see that he's coming. Things are changing today. But he doesn't change. He still sits at the right hand of God. He's still in your life today. Rules over all things for good. He's not in another room. He's not in another place. He is the same to you today. And then think of tomorrow. Think all the way to forever. The tomorrow, Monday. Think of Monday. And perhaps Monday is very frightening to you. Or the week. You dread. You say that to your wife or to your husband. I dread this week. Will I have strength for this week? Jesus Christ will be the same. He will be the same in grace, the same in promise, the same in presence, the same in strength. And then think ultimately forever, to all eternity, he will be the same. This is our comfort now as we come to the Lord's table. For this is the confession that God seals to our hearts at the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, Jesus says to us, all may change, but Jesus never. He alone is the one on whom you may on whom you must rely. He shall give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all of your ways. I am he that will carry you when you are young and as a child, even to your old age. I will carry, I will save you. Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. Nothing yesterday, nothing today, nothing tomorrow, nothing forever. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will be the chain. He will be the same. Now, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace, we can bear change. We must experience change. There is death that we must go through personally. There's death that we must see coming into our loved ones. There is sorrow that we must bear. We go from one thing to the next, and there's many changes. We can lose a job. We can lose our savings, lose our pension, lose our insurance. Friends change. Health changes. Peace of mind changes. Mental stability changes. We can bear that by his grace, because he does not change. But there's one thing that we could never bear if he would change. If he would flicker so much as for a moment, if he would alter anything, we could not bear that. But Jesus changes never. You may think he has changed, but he does not change. He does not change toward you and toward me. That is utterly important. That is the one absolute of life. It is so important that at this table, he himself will swear to you, I change not. I am the same to you. We need to hear that at the Lord's table this morning. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to know that, because there is one more thing, however. As long as we are in this life, there is one other thing that doesn't change. You discovered what that was as you examined yourself in this past week. You discovered that though redeemed, though you have the new man of Christ and the hope everlasting, there is something about you that does not change. That's our sin. Our sin does not change. And so each day we must learn to see it and confess it before God and each other. One day that truth of our sin being present, that's going to change. One day you won't have it anymore. That's also the pledge here at the Lord's Supper. One day you won't have that anymore. You will change. You will have no more sin. But because it's true of me that I'm a sinner, I need to know that Jesus Christ is the same. And he is the same to me and to you, his child. Adam and Eve, when they trembling fled from God and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, tried to deal with their sin themselves, needed the same Jesus we need. Abraham and Sarah, when Abraham lied and said to Pharaoh, "She's my sister." When they came back by God's grace to Canaan, and as they rode together perhaps behind the oxen, that marriage needed the same Jesus your marriage needs. When Peter denied his Lord 3 times and went out and wept bitterly, he needed the same Jesus that you and I need when we see our sins. I need the same Jesus. Your brothers and sisters in India, your brothers and sisters in China and in North Korea who are being put to death for the sake of Jesus Christ need the same Jesus, and we need the same Jesus in our life this morning. And now we come to the Lord's table. And at the Lord's table, we find that there is nothing new there. If you're looking for something new, it's not to be found there. It's the same. Take the bread and eat it. Take the wine and drink it. And hear Jesus say, "So surely was my body broken for you, for your sins. And so surely do I dwell in you." The same forgiveness. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We thank thee, O God, for thy word. May this confession that was upon the lips of brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago in their trials and adversities be on our lips with joy and comfort this morning as we partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of him. May we hear him, Jesus, our prophet, say, "I am the same to you yesterday, today, and forever." Amen.